that's your prayer this morning, it's a prayer that the Lord is going to answer. As you seek to become more and more like Christ, you discover the source for which you were created, the reason why you exist. You discover the reason He fashioned you, becoming more and more like Jesus. Because as you become more like Him, by the power of His Spirit, you enter into all that He fashioned you to be. You discover the truth and the life and the longing and the peace and the joy and the love and all that your heart longs for. That's where it's found in Jesus. Let's sing it one more time as the prayer from the depths of our being. I want to be more like You.
I want to be more like You. I want to be more like You. I want to be a vessel and You were through. I want to be more like You.
And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 19. If that prayer you just prayed through the song, wanting to be more like Christ, was prayed from the depths of your heart, I can guarantee you the Lord will answer that, even this morning. He will make you more like Him and bring more life into your heart. I don't know when you came to Egypt or specifically what brought you here, but I know one thing for sure. That you came to Egypt to get a reward. Because Egypt is a land of rewards. You knew that, didn't you? It is. Every single one of us who are here came here, at least those of us who came from abroad, we specifically came here for a reward. Some of you came for the money. Some of you came for job security. Some of you came for life security, to escape oppression or poverty. Some of you came for the adventure. Some of you came because you didn't want to be left alone when your family went. Whatever the reason, you came here for a reward. You came here to get something. Today I'm going to expose something in your life and in mine that many of us try to hide. Some people think this is unspiritual. Some are embarrassed to admit that we have it within us. Yet it is something that God Himself has designed into the very fabric of our being. It is the desire for rewards. The desire for rewards. You see, the fact that you are here today, alive and well and clothed and in your right mind, is the fact that all your life to this point, you have been seeking and finding certain rewards. If you got up this morning and put food in your mouth, you did it for one reason. You had an appetite that you wanted satisfied, you ate, and hopefully you were satisfied. The fact that you put clothes on your body this morning, and I'm glad you did, the fact that you did that, you are now being rewarded, at least somewhat, from the elements. You are keeping some body heat within you and keeping the cold outside. You're rewarded for that action. Regardless of what action you take in life, whether it is conscious or unconscious, you do it in order to obtain a result, a reward. Now, some of you will give me the altruistic line that, no, I'm mature now. I do things just because they're right to do. I do them without getting anything back. Well, maybe you're more mature than I am, but you know what? Even there you get your reward, because your reward is obtaining the pleasure of doing it without getting reward. Every single thing we do in life is built on the system of reward obtaining the rewards. This is how we were fashioned. We live for this. We make choices according to what we will receive. And regardless whether it's the delicious meal, the sports trophy, the higher grade point average, a salary raise, a word of praise, the pleasure, personal independence, or the internal satisfaction of surprising somebody with a secret gift. Whatever we do, we make choices every day based on what we will receive. Selecting the reward we want is also the primary factor that creates and enables change in our lives. You see, when we want to bring about lasting change in ourselves, the only way to do it is if there is something that provides greater pleasure than the pleasure I am presently experiencing. Any counselor, any good counselor worth their salt, knows that this is true. You cannot get anybody to change their action if you are replacing it with something that is less desirable than what they're doing. Why in the world would I give up a pleasure worth 10 units of fun for something that's only worth 3 units? Why would I do it? Of course you're not going to do it. And so you have to help the person see that the change is actually to their benefit. The reward is worth the adjustment. You see, when we understand that, it's amazing what we can change in our lives. You see, even a lazy man will work when he gets hungry enough. Even an addict will seek help when the pain of his bondage becomes too intense. Even an atheist will call out to God when he is in deep trouble that he can't get out of himself. Desiring a reward for our action is the primary motivational force in our lives. In today's scripture passage, we are going to discover a wonderful truth that although the requirements of following Jesus Christ in total commitment are very, very high, we're going to see that the rewards for that are well worth it. In other words, the payout is definitely worth the price. I want you to first of all examine with me the price. Let's look at it. Starts in Matthew 19, and we're going to go to verses 16, beginning there and going ahead. From verses 16 to 22, these verses record the dialogue that Jesus had with a very rich young man. This guy was filthy rich in his day. And he said to Jesus, he came to Jesus and said that he wanted to obtain eternal life. And he thought that he had done everything he needed to do to have eternal life. And so he asked Jesus if there was anything else. And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The first thing I want you to notice this morning is that the price tag on obtaining God's blessing is very, very high. It's so high, a matter of fact, that none of us can purchase it. Nobody can be good enough for God. God is holy. And if you've sinned once in your life, then to get you into heaven would mean that somehow your sin is going to corrupt heaven, which would make heaven ultimately into hell. And God's not going to let that happen. So, you and I will never be good enough for God, no matter how many good works we do, no matter how much we pray, no matter how many wonderful things we accomplish. Do them all. But remember, those are not going to get you accepted in God, in the holy God's presence. It's impossible. Thank God, the Bible says that Jesus has already paid the price for our salvation. He's already paid the price for our rebellion. He's already paid the price for every fault, every failure that you and I have ever made. He's paid it. And that's why He offers heaven and eternal life as an absolutely free gift. Praise God. It's ours for the taking. It's free. It's paid for. But please hear me now. In order to receive His free gift, which has already been paid for, we have to remove from our hands the things that are there in order to receive it. If you've got your hands full of something else and I offer you something, no matter what it is, you can't take it if your hands are full of something else. And so in order to receive what He's already provided for us, we have to let go of what we've been hanging on to. See, the rich young man was hanging on to his riches, and he would not let them go in order to receive something of far greater value. I don't know what it is that you're hanging on to, but most of us, all of us, hang on to something. For some, it's their image. For some, it's like the rich young man, it's their money. For others, it's their own goodness, their own self-righteousness, their religion, their desire to do it on their own. For others, it's their plans or their future. I remember as a teenager hearing this message that God wanted all of my life, that He wanted me totally committed, that Jesus was asking for my everything. And I'm going, are you crazy? I'm a young guy. I've got my life ahead of me. I got plans. I got dreams. I got some wonderful plans. And you mean He's asking me to give all of that to Him? Come on. I couldn't comprehend why anybody, especially a God who loves me, would ask me to give all that up. It didn't make sense to me as a young person. It was very hard to let go of that. Now, some refuse to let go of a private pleasure or a hidden secret. I don't know what it is that you have a tendency to hold on. I don't know what it is that fills your hands and your heart. But Jesus today asks you to lay that down for Him. He asks you to let go of it. You see, if you want to get on a ship and take a wonderful trip on a cruise, you cannot do that. Even if the cruise is paid for, if it's a gift, you cannot get on the boat without getting off the land. You ever try and do that? Doesn't work, folks. You got to let go of one before you get on the other. That's what we're talking about here. Heaven is a free gift. It's paid for entirely. It's ours for the taking. But we have to let go of what we're hanging on first before we accept what is freely His. Now, you may call me nuts this morning for suggesting this, but I'm simply relaying the message that Jesus has told us. Nowhere in Scripture do we hear the wishy-washy message that is preached in many, many Christian circles today that makes lukewarm pew-sitters in ice-cold churches. Nowhere does the Bible indicate that a little commitment is enough. Nowhere. As a matter of fact, at one place, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Many will call me Lord on that day, and I will say, 'Depart from me, I never knew you.'" Jesus didn't mince His words. He didn't say, "Oh yeah, just kind of hang around the edges and you'll be okay." No. He said, it's 100% or nothing. You are either in or you're out. It's that clear. Are you with me or aren't you? It's 100%. Now, if you doubt that, just put it into life. Try going to your favorite restaurant this afternoon. Order, you know, you see the meal on the menu that you like, your favorite one, and go to the manager and tell him you'll offer him 20% of the value of the meal and see if he'll serve you. Go to any store anywhere in the world and offer somebody 15, 20, 25% of the value of an item and see if you get it. I didn't say value of the price. We know here that you can barter for the price. Value of the item. Do you think an owner is going to sell you something for 20% its value? Of course not. Why do we think it's any different with what God wants to offer us? This is very basic, but it's very profound. If you want Jesus Christ, if you want all the eternal, amazing, incredible benefits that come along with Him, then the price tag, dear friends, is very high. Jesus requires everything you are and everything you have. He wants every part of you and every part of every part of you. Every single speck. He wants to be Lord of all. And He is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. That's just the way it is. No options. Period. Now, I know that sounds offensive, and some of you were thinking, "Dave, we've got visitors here this morning. You're going to scare them away." Throughout history, many, 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 many people have been scared away, like the rich young man. As a matter of fact, Jesus Himself scared the man away. He didn't want to. The Bible says He loved that man. He wanted him to come. He had the gift for him as much as He has it for you and me. But when that young man walked away, Jesus wept in His spirit because He realized that that man was making a very unwise decision. Many people throughout history have walked away from this offer because for whatever reasons, the price tag appears to be too high. Why in the world does God demand everything? Why does He want my all? Why does He ask such a hard thing of me? Can't we negotiate? Can't I give Him kind of half and play with half? Can't I? Why does He want control? Where I spent 13 years of my life in Ontario, there would often come these thick, soupy fogs that would kind of descend into the valley. It's kind of like the mushy air you get over here, except over there it was made of liquid. But you know what it's like when the air gets so dense you can hardly see your way through it. Well, some of the fog would get so thick, literally, you could hardly see 3 or 4 feet in front of your face. Now, I want you to imagine that you're driving a car in the midst of that kind of a fog, in that kind of a mist. And you're on a road that you've never been before, trying to go somewhere, and you'll maybe have a map and maybe not, but this fog descends. Whoa, you slow down, you pull over to make sure you're on the right side of the road to avoid accidents. You're looking for the line on the road to make sure you're at least in the safe zone, or you'll pull over altogether. And while you're inching along the road, you see a hitchhiker. And you figure, well, this guy's worse off than I am. And so you open the window and say, you want to ride? And he says, yeah, I'd love to get in, but I want to drive. And you say, God, you're nuts. You want to ride, get in, or goodbye? And he says, no, 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 I want to drive. But let me tell you, there's a reason I want to drive. And for the sake of the illustration, imagine that that hitchhiker is Jesus. Jesus would say, I'm not going to ride. I want the steering wheel. I want the shift. I want the gas pedal. I want the control of this car. But here's why. The reason is because fog doesn't blind my eyes. I can see this road from above. I know its beginning and I know its end. I know every turn in the road. I know every pothole, every rut, every ditch, every intersection, every potential accident spot. I know every single thing about this road. And if you let me drive, I will not just get you to your destination safely. I'll give you the greatest trip along the way. But if you want to drive, when you can't even see 5 minutes in front of your nose, when you have no idea where this road is going, where it turns, what's ahead, what's up front, when you have no idea, you want to drive, I'm not even getting in. Yes, he demands the steering wheel. Yes, he requires everything. But the reason he does is exactly so that he can deliver all that he's purchased for you. That's why he wants it. And he can't do it unless we give him the wheel. You know, some people wonder whether or not it's really worthwhile giving God everything. You see, the rich young man... he had all his money, and Jesus said, okay, you want eternal life, you give that up in order to give this. And he looked at that price tag. Everything has a price tag. Every decision you make in life has a price tag. And before you buy it, check the price tag. He looked at the price tag on eternal life, and he compared it with what he had in his hand, and he said, uh-uh, it's not worth it. I will stay with what I've got. Well, I've got something here this morning. I've got a little bag, something in it. Who would like to offer me a dollar for this? Going once. $10. $100. Going fast. $200. Who will take it for $200? Anybody want to offer me $200 for this bag? Okay, $300. Okay, $400. Who will go $400? I see we have a real live audience here this morning. $400. You guys never been to an auction, have you? $400. Anybody? Come on, why won't you make me an offer? What? Oh, trust me. You can't see, just trust me. $400, five for you, $500. Anybody want to buy it for $500? You guys... you're not very good bargainers. Five. Okay, six. I'll tell you what, I will sell... no, I better not say that. Would anybody care to offer me $15,000? Whoa! How about $15,000? Anyone? Well, you guys just missed a great event. See, not only has there been a piece of paper in here, there is also a diamond-studded... solid gold Rolex watch worth $30,000. You probably never knew a watch cost that much. It's not mine. It's not mine. You're saying, give, cut that man's salary. No. Get him off TV. No, this is not my watch, but it is. It's a $30,000 gold diamond-studded watch. You wouldn't even offer me $100 for it. Ha, ha, ha. It's going in my pocket now. Guards? Now, if you would have known that beforehand, would anybody have offered me $100? Would anybody have offered me $1,000? $10,000? Even $15,000 would have been a bargain. What does this illustrate? You see, the price of an item is high or low, not depending on whether it's high or low. It has everything to do with what it values and what it is for. You see, if you pay $10 for this with this, you've been taken royally. But if you pay $10 with this, you got the deal of a life. The price is the same. What you get for it determines whether or not your value is what you paid is valuable or not. And so, yes, Jesus asked you for everything. And you may say, that's so high. Is it? Is it high? Is it a high price? The question, the logical question is, what do I get for it? Right? And you may say, we shouldn't ask those kind of questions. They sound so unchristian. Well, you know what? That's exactly what the disciples asked. Go back to your Bible. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" In other words, that rich young guy, he just walked away. He thought the price was too much to pay. But Jesus, here we are. We've walked away. We've left our houses, lands, our fishing business, our hometown. We've left our families. We've come. We've been wandering around with you for these years. We've left it all. What about us? What's in it for us? Do we get a reward? Dear friends, this is a very fair question. Please notice that Jesus did not rebuke them for the question. He planted it in their hearts. Look how he answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That was for those 12 particularly. And then he broadens it to the rest of us. "And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields, real estate, possessions, if we can put in there, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Well, if you've been following the news, you know there's a lot of action these days in the stock market. New records being set almost every week. And I read in the news just this week on the internet that there was a mutual fund in the United States that over the last 3 months has gained 58%. There's a stock in Europe that over the last 6 or 7 months gained 132%. Now, I don't know if you do any stock playing, if that's possible. I mean, I like to read about it. But when you look at it, you know, when you see that kind of stuff, you go, incredible. You mean if I would have invested $100 in that European account 6 months ago, today the $100 would be worth something like $230? Whoa! That's a pretty good investment, isn't it, in 6 months? Now, if you would have known that information 6 months ago on the European account and 3 months ago on the U.S. mutual account, how many of you might have invested? How many of you are lying? Yeah, if you would have had something to invest, I have a strong hunch that if you knew the fund was going to perform that way, you wouldn't have just invested. If you knew it was going to perform that way, you would have probably scraped up every penny and piastre you could find and put it in there. Right? You probably would have said, you know, honey, let's not go out for supper for the next 2 weeks. We'll take the money we're going to save, put it in that account, because in 6 months, hey, we can go out twice as much. You probably would have given up a whole bunch of different pleasures, a whole bunch of different things, because why? Because you knew that the sacrifice to invest in a short term would have been worth your investment. It's as simple as that. Because the price on something you knew would have been worth the payout. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, the stock market doesn't yield information on where it's going. It doesn't tell you where any stock is going to be at next week or next month or next year. It doesn't give that information. But dear friends, brace yourself. Jesus does. Jesus has already told us what our investment in Him will produce. And look what He says. He said that whatever we give up for Him, whatever we sacrifice, whatever we let go in order to receive what He's already freely provided us, He said He will reward 100-fold. Now, most translators indicate this, as the New International Version does, that it would be 100 times as much. Now, most people think that that means if it was 1, then it's 100. But if you get into the words, you realize that it's not exact. I mean, that would be wonderful. You invest $1 and you get $100. Whew! Where are you going to get that kind of return? That's amazing. But that's not what the term means. A closer word is 100-fold. 100-fold in the King James, you've probably heard it. It would be 100-fold. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me illustrate it. If I take a piece of paper and I fold it once, that's 1 fold. Okay? I had 1 piece of paper. Now, how many do I have? 2. What percentage increase is that? Basic math. 100% increase is 1 fold. 2 folds would be how many pieces of paper? 4, or what percent increase? 400% increase. 2-fold. 4 folds would be 8 or 800. 5 folds, 16 or 1600. And you can see where it's going from there. Right? If I could fold this paper consecutively 40 times. Now I can't because it gets too small. But if I could, and those of you who were in 10th grade class last year at CAC, you can't answer. We deal with this in our sex education class at CAC, and I use this to show the power of sexually transmitted diseases. But back to our topic. Anyway, so you've got a paper. If you could fold it consecutively 40 times, how high do you think the stack of paper would be? How many of you... Well, let's give a couple options. Let's say, could it be under an inch? Could it be between 1 and 2 inches? Between 2 and 6 inches? Between 6 inches and a foot? Between 1 foot and 2 feet? Between 2 and 10 feet or over 10 feet? How high would the stack of paper be if you doubled it 40 times? How many of you say it would be... How many say it would be under an inch? How many say it would be between 1 and 2 inches? Between 2 inches and 6 inches. Come on, be bold. 2 to 6 inches. How many say between 6 inches and 1 foot? How many say between 1 foot and 2 feet? Between 2 feet and 10 feet. How many say over 10 feet? How many don't know? Don't have a clue? Okay. Well, let me shock you. If you took a simple piece of paper that width and folded it 40 consecutive times, the stack of paper would reach from here to the moon. I get the same reaction in every class of kids. They say, no way. I said, grab your calculator, go figure it out. One kid who was a brain went, this is a couple years ago, he figured out the width of the paper, and he actually fed it into his... whatever he's got that they can do those things. And he came back later that afternoon to me and he said, Mr. Petrescu, you were right. 40-fold thickness that thick will reach from here to the moon. Jesus didn't say 40-fold. He said 100-fold. Now, I don't have a clue what that is. So I went and I found an expert mathematician. And I said, can you please tell me what 100-fold is? And he worked it out. And I can tell you on verifiable sources that 100-fold is a very big number. You could count from now until your dying day and not count at all. Jesus said, whoever is willing to give up for me, is willing to let go of their hands for me, I will reward 100-fold. And eternal life. I don't know about you, but this boggles my mind. But dear friends, hear the news. God is not out to rip you off. God is not out to take away from you. The one who designed you loves you. He loves you so much that when he saw you drifted from him and were in crisis in life, sent his only son all the way from heaven to come down here. Why? To rescue you. He loves you that much. He went to the cross of Calvary to pay your debt, to bring you back. He died for you. He paid your penalty in hell. He rose again from you. He lives for you. He ever intercedes for you. He longs for you. He loves you. And he did all of this in order to bless you beyond your wildest comprehension. Paul declared, our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, it hasn't even entered into our minds or hearts the things that God has prepared for those who love him. We just can't count that high. We get so locked into the priorities and the properties and the possessions and the pleasures and the purchases and the plans and the personal issues of our lives that all these things become so important to us, and somehow in the process we blind ourselves to this amazing investment opportunity that is so fabulous it defies our understanding. That's why Jesus wisely counseled, do not hoard your treasures down here where they can be eaten by moths, corroded by rust, or stolen by burglars. Stockpile your treasures in heaven where it is safe and eternally rewarding. Now I know some will protest, and I've done this myself. It's like, okay God, that kind of sounds like pie in the sky. It's way out there. I can't see it. It's beyond that. I want to feel it now. I want to touch it now. I want to experience it now. Eternal life, great. Heaven, wonderful. With the angels, forever, singing. No, not if you're not a musician. Whatever heaven, as you understand, it sounds great, we all want it, but it's so far away. Maybe closer than you think. But what about now? What about now? Well, let me ask you. How many of you here have given your life unreservedly to Jesus Christ? Shoot your hand up. Okay, if you have... Keep it up. Keep it up. If you have made that commitment, then according to God's Word, you have His gift of eternal life. He has given that to you freely. Keep it up. It's good exercise on a cold day. Now, for those of you with your hands up, how many... That's to come. How many of you are disappointed in this life? How many of you feel really bad that you made that decision? How many of you feel that Jesus has ripped you off? Come on, be honest. Some of you feel that Jesus has ripped you off, meaning he's taken more than he's given. Anybody? I have never met anybody in my life who has genuinely yielded everything to God and felt that they've been shortchanged. I have never met them. If you know them, please introduce them to me. I have met people who have pretended or have given him a little and wondered why it didn't work, but I have never met anybody who emptied all their hands, received what he has for them, and said, he ripped me off. I've never met the person. In this life, that's long before we get to heaven. What does he give you? What do you have in this life that is a treasure, that is a reward, that is a blessing as a result of committing your life to Christ? Call it out. What has he given you?
Joy.
Joy? Peace? Love? Happiness? Life? I'm sorry? Security? Courage? Comfort? Sorry? Protection? Contentment, I'm sorry. Unconditional love. Everything. Purpose. Guidance. Self-control, what a wonderful gift. Hope, eternal life. You see, we could go on and on and on and on. By the way, for those of you who are wondering, these people are not part of my script. They're not ripped off. We're not ripped off when we give everything to God. He gives us far, far more than we can ever, ever ask. The price is high. Let's not pretend that. I know Christians, like I said, who go, no, just say, Jesus, come into my heart, and then you don't have to do anything else. No. Jesus demands everything. But is the payout worth it? That's the question. Lord, we've done it all for you. What's in it for us? Is the payout worth it? And the answer is absolutely yes. Because here's the principle. He wraps it all up in the principle right at the end in verse 30. He says, many who are first will be last. And many who are last will be first. You see, throughout the ages, one of the accusations that Christians have taken on the chin is, if your God is so big, and if Jesus is so powerful, and if He loves you that much, how come you still can't pay your bills? How come you're still suffering? How come you just lost your job? How come you didn't get healed? How come this? How come that? How come everything's not hunky-dory for you? How come not everything's rosy? How come you don't have heaven down here? How come? And you see the people out there who are cheating and swindling and lying and gossiping and committing adultery and doing every sin in the book, and they seem to be prospering very well. And somehow this doesn't make sense. Jesus said, hey folks, open your eyes. This is not the end of the story. Because when the end of the story is written, you're going to see that many who were first will be last. And many who were last will be first. You see, Jesus' kingdom appears to be upside down. His principles appear to be topsy-turvy, but we're the ones who are standing on our heads. God's truth and His principles are eternally tested, and they are true, even though they seem to be upside down. He said, if you want to receive, you give. If you want to be great, be the servant of all. If you want to be a leader, learn to submit. If you want to be loved, then love other people. If you want to be exalted, then choose the lowest place. I know this morning that every single one of us want rewards. And that desire in your heart is not bad. God cheers it on. He wants to fan it into flame. He just doesn't want you to settle for buying a bag of nothing for a high price. Why give yourself to those things that don't satisfy? Why spend your life and your toil and your sweat and your effort on that which is going to burn up? Yes, He calls you to pay the high price. Yes, He asks for everything. But the reason He does is precisely because He wants to reward you. That's how He fashioned you. That's where He's taking you. Dear friends, don't forget it. Lord Jesus, thank You for the way You have fashioned us. Thank You with the desires we have within us that move us toward action. And every day we see this interplay of wanting, of working toward, of paying, of finding, of obtaining. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that You'll help us adjust our focus, adjust our awareness to realize that even though You have asked for our all, that You have done so in order to build into our lives Your riches, Your grace, Your mercy, Your wonders. And after all that we enjoy here in abundance, still eternal life. Lord, our minds can't comprehend this, but we pray that You'll help us to get a peek of it, to motivate us to serve You even more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you take this step in your life, if you haven't yet, I urge you to do so. As you, and sometimes, you know, this can happen in a church service where we say, okay, if you want that, stand up or lift your hand or come and pray. This morning I'm going to encourage you to not do that here. Because this kind of a decision, you don't walk into some place and buy an item for $15,000 on a whim. You don't walk into somewhere and yield your life uncontrollably, or pardon me, controllably, but totally. You don't do that just because somebody suggests it. Dear friends, go home today and think long and hard. What are you buying for what are you paying? Is the price tag worth the price? Examine. What are you enjoying today? How much have you paid for it? Does it compare at all with total payment on our part for total blessings on God's part? Ask yourself that question. And if you never have, I challenge you today or tomorrow or next week or whenever, get to the place in your life where you say, Lord, I'm willing to let go in order to receive. Listen to this song. It may hint at just some of the blessings that God has in store for us.